Yeah, I'm going to hand over to Maurice, who's going to speak from the Refugee Council perspective. Thank you, Maurice.
Thank you very much. We did wonder, we were in competition with Mother Music Hate Racism, Loki the Rapper, whether you hipsters would all be hitting there, but we were fantastic for this session. And to be honest, I'm not surprised. The way grassroots organising around support for refugees in the UK has transformed in recent years, and I see this pattern each day as evidence of that. Can you hear me at the back?
No.
Subtitle of this session is "Refugees Welcome Here" as a statement. I think if we put a question mark and answered it, and you looked at government policy, the answer would be a resounding no. If you looked at it about how people are reacting across the country, the answer is a resounding yes, and that tells us something about the way forward. Just like Mariana, we have a problem in the UK, structural problem, that until somebody has a legal status of refugee, they are not treated as a refugee. In fact, they have no real legal status at all. Title to apply for asylum, but subject to very poor treatment. And be careful what you wish for with Brexit, because the one part of Brexit, of the common European asylum system, which we are members of, our government has always loved, is the Dublin system. It enables us to turn people away and force them to go back to countries that they pass through. And we'll lose that, and the government knows that, no panicking about what they're going to do about that. And they've used it quite a lot, particularly over the last year with channel crossings. Prima facie, if you come from across the channel, you've been in France, therefore you should have made a claim there. So a lot of people, they're not exactly always turned back at the border when they arrive, but it won't be long before they are on a plane back or a train back to France. What I'd like to do is just talk about, describe in very brief terms, a refugee protection system in the UK that's deeply flawed, deeply dysfunctional, that drives destitution, homelessness, poverty, and many other ills and disadvantages. And I'll start, if I may, by looking at what happens, how we treat people once they have a decision on their claim, and once they've got refugee status in the UK. It's a difficult process, but around, after all appeals and decisions are taken account, somewhere in the order of 45 to 50% of people who apply for refugee protection in the UK are granted it. We have a two-tier system. We have good refugees, those that Theresa May, in her speech to the UN in 2015, described as the vulnerable and the weak, those who don't make journeys to Europe in search of safety. They're good refugees. We help them. We help them with resettlement programmes, and we bring a number over to the UK where they are given housing, decent housing, and they're supported by organisations like my own. We work in Yorkshire and Humberside, now in Lewisham, in Hertfordshire. Many other organisations doing the same. We take 5,000 a year. They're given this full support package, and the government has just announced, and I think we all can take some credit for this, to extend our resettlement commitment. Not at the levels that we think we're capable of doing, and there's an appetite this country to do, but at the current level. So from 2020 onwards, when the current Syrian programme ends, we will have a replacement programme on the same terms, 5,000 a year. Good, well-funded package. Local authorities are happy to sign up to it because it does meet their costs. But resettled refugees are about 1 in 4 that get refugee protection in the UK, 1 in 4, 1 in 5. The others are people who make their own journeys and make in-country claims in the UK. They're the bad refugees, those that Theresa May described in 2015 as the rich and the strong. They are given, and I'm talking about people who are given refugee status, have been through a very, very difficult determination process, but are given refugee protection. And the day they get the letter informing them they've got the right to remain in the UK for 5 years and access all systems, they're also told they've got 28 days to get out of their asylum for Home Office accommodation, find their own accommodation, apply for benefits, do whatever they need to do for their dependents, move schools, sort out their health access, absolutely appalling. Many of these people are traumatised by their experiences in their home countries, on their journeys, some of whom, and some by their treatment in the UK. They struggle to get access to English language. They certainly struggle to get access to therapeutic support, which, given what I've told you about the high preponderance of traumatisation, is a real scandal. And they also, when they're ready to move on in life, they struggle to get the kind of support, the support that organisations like my own provide around the country, with employment, with education. It's a postcode lottery. We happen to be in an office in an area where you are. If you happen to be a refugee in Leeds or Hull, and we've got some capacity, then you're probably going to be okay. We'll help you out. If you don't, you take the chances. So, even where we are providing refugee support and integration, the government conspires to screw it up. Have any of you been aware of our campaign just over the last 2 weeks around something called the Asylum Migration and Integration Fund? This was a £40 million fund that the Home Office announced last year. European money, doesn't escape any of us. Before we applied for it, we clarified with the Home Office what happens in the event of Brexit. We've given a fast iron assurance that any grants will support the European Union. What a surprise, 3 weeks ago, we were aware from the agency money support, saying in the event of a no deal with the back there, absolutely important. We reckon that just on this fund alone, it's about £20 million of integration funding. And there's another integration programme that we've also applied for to extend our mental health support. And decisions have not been made on that. And that will fall as well. We launched a campaign 2 weeks ago, a public campaign. We have absolutely Space for 2 weeks, 50,000 people took our campaign action, wrote to the Chancellor saying this is scandalous, this has got to end. Really pleased to say that I got a letter from the agency, the funding agency last night, saying the Home Office has agreed to pony up the money and we're about to action. If you're one of them, congratulations, you're on the right side of the victory. On that, for those that, before a decision is made, the pre-decision, people making asylum claims, they're subject to very poor quality decision making and far too often on their applications. The support they provide is often utilitarian at best. When people that we're seeing in initial accommodation centres, settlement around the country, in a dreadful state, confused about what's going to happen to them, unclear about what their responsibilities are, and as I say, many feeling the effects of traumatisation. We go in and try and provide some therapeutic support. We can't see everybody, but that's their welcome to the UK. It's chaotic, and despite extra funding put in to provide independent advice and support, millions extra put in to provide extra support. Over the last month, as the new contracts come in, you haven't been able to get through on the phone. If any of you are supporting asylum seekers, I'm sure this is your experience. You just cannot get through on the telephone. It's a national scandal. But, of course, it's completely different and getting absolutely no ministerial attention whatsoever. The system is unnecessarily bureaucratic, and even where we convince the Home Office that actually it's in their interest to treat people with a modicum of respect and dignity, because you will get better cooperation and engagement from those people. Even when they're convinced that it might be in their interest to pump more money in, I'm very pleased to say that when they issued the new contract, G4S lost out, and then G4S not provided something. Yeah. Another victory, I'm going to say. 1 minute left, okay. If you're claiming asylum in the UK, you're in a tough spot. There are more and more local support groups around the country, but the bureaucracy is impenetrability, and it denies people their entitlement. We're not asking for anything special, and it's pretty basic, the support they are given. But we can't even get people into that support system. It is so poor. So it's hard to see where the positives are. We think we're making progress with the Lift the Ban campaign and enabling people, giving people the right to work if their asylum claim has not been determined 6 months. I think it should be from day one, but that's the campaign decided on 6 months. We think that's winnable. We think we've got political support in Parliament for that. Not so much on the refugee family reunion campaign, which we've been running for 2 years. Our private members have always got us over the line, but the confusion around Brexit over the last 2 years has made any progress on any progressive policy around migration and refugees almost impossible. We had a victory, as I say, on resettlement and a long-term commitment, but it wasn't of the scale we thought. Asylum reform, when there are some officials in the Home Office that don't think the system is right and needs to reform, no doubt about it. But I was speaking to one recently, and they were saying the problem they face is the idea of treating people seeking refugee protection and who are given refugee protection in the UK with dignity and respect is countercultural, with her words, in the Home Office. So that's an idea of a cultural problem, not just a bureaucratic problem. Of course, the two are very closely linked. And particularly over the last couple of years, with Brexit ruling everything, although this is a long-term problem, no political leadership on this issue whatsoever. Politicians of all stripes, I've got to say, apart from a few noble examples, turning their back on this population. I'm not going to end on that note, but I think there are some positives. Resettlement has enabled us to generate a network of local organisations around the country. There's a wonderful organisation that I'm a big supporter of, the City of Sanctuary, now has 120 groups in cities and towns around the country. Ordinary people coming together to say to, in their locality, we're going to make our place a place of welcome. We're going to extend that arm of friendship, and we're going to make sure people feel they're included and they've got a future living in our community. We're seeing universities of sanctuary, theatres of sanctuary. We're seeing businesses come into this because they see there's something in it for them in terms of, with a employment problem looming in terms of labour coming from Europe. Here you have a population of their interests, of their own interests. Don't really care to work with part of this movement of ours. We are building a refugee welcome solidarity movement across the country. And the one big thing that we think could be a game changer over the next period, I don't know, we haven't seen it yet, it's what we've seen leaks from it, it's the Windrush report. Wendy Williams' review of how Windrush was treated. We understand, we've seen from one or two leaks, it's devastating in its critique of the Home Office culture. And I've got to say, everything I hear about the decisions we made about, and I'm very fortunate this week to have met Paulette Wilson, the first woman that was identified as suffering as a result of Windrush cases. Everything was said about the treatment of those people who came over here, of Windrush generation, is true of people seeking refugee protection in the society. It's going to be devastating when it comes out. They know the decision not to publish it before any general election. So it will be out at some point. They can't keep that under wraps for that, but it will be leaked eventually. It's a rally point when it comes out to call for fundamental change about the culture, not just a policy, but the culture within the Home. I hope you'll be part of that campaign with the rest of us. Thank you very much.